This episode is brought to you by Get Group. Learn more about secure, ISO-compliant mobile driver's licenses and sign up for a demo at getgroupna.com. Welcome to AnvaCast, bringing news, information, and expertise to the Anva community. Here's your host, Ian Grossman. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the AnvaCast. This week, I am pleased to welcome Colin Mooney. Colin is the Executive Director of the Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance, commonly referred to as CVSA. Colin, welcome to your first visit on our AnvaCast.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Ian.
Before we jump into the content of commercial vehicle safety and commercial enforcement, a lot of folks on the line know you have worked with you over the years, Colin. Just tell us, how are you and the folks at CVSA holding up during these unusual times?
Well, I think for the most part, we're holding up quite well. We have transitioned to a 100% remote workforce, just like many throughout the world. It was an easy transition for us because a third of our team had already been working remotely. So we had set up a lot of our business processes in order to accommodate our remote folks. So transitioning to 100% remote environment, we transitioned pretty easily. And over the past 8 months, we've been very productive. It's been a different type of busy. Obviously, we haven't been hosting or planning in-person events yet. We've been busy with all things COVID related.
Yeah. And for the folks that were office folks that were commuting every day, how's that adjustment gone? You being one of them, you pretty much commuted almost every day and worked out of the office, and then you're working full-time from home now. How's that transition been for you and your colleagues?
Actually, it's worked out remarkably well. I get the sense that probably 80% of our team will be remote, 100%, if not high 90% once we start to open up, hopefully sometime in 2021. It's everybody is recognizing that we can be very productive working remotely, and the not having to do the commute, especially within the DC area, is nice.
Yeah, I can relate to that. So how about your members? You know, your members, and I think I'll ask you to elaborate, your primary members are, of course, those law enforcement members who are doing commercial vehicle enforcement. But I know CVSA has a much broader umbrella than just the jurisdictional enforcement members. So maybe you can start us off with a little bit of that overview of what makes up that membership of CVSA.
Yeah, sure. So our primary membership are the states and provinces. It's the lead commercial vehicle enforcement agency within that state or province. Depending on the jurisdiction, depending on the state and province, it's either a state police agency, a Department of Transportation, or a public utility commission. In many cases, some of the jurisdictions had to move enforcement personnel to other duties in order to help with all things COVID-related, whether it was helping with security or if it was assisting with any type of contact tracing within that jurisdiction, and they were removed from commercial motor vehicle enforcement activities. However, there have been a number of agencies that continued to maintain commercial vehicle enforcement activities, keeping social distancing and protective measures in place. Yet enforcement never stops. So even though the enforcement interaction has changed a little bit, over the past 8 months, you've still seen police officers and commercial vehicle enforcement officials traveling the highways, stopping vehicles, and interacting with the community.
So have you seen the numbers shift through that time of the pandemic in terms of roadside stops, inspections that were occurring? Did you see much of a dramatic change in those trends?
Yeah, we absolutely did. In the early stages of the pandemic, when we were all learning the degree of safety measures that we needed to take, we saw a significant drop, somewhere down to 25% of our numbers over over the same period last year. And as time has gone on, we started to implement safe practicing distances. PEE has been disseminated to all the enforcement members throughout North America. and our inspection numbers are starting to rise. We started our first enforcement campaign in July. It was our Operation Safe Driver event. And we had great participation across North America. And our second enforcement campaign was our Brake Safety Week that we conducted the latter part of August. And then we had our international road check the first part of September. So with all three of those enforcement campaigns, we've seen our inspection numbers rise. Obviously, we are not at 100% or near normal levels, yet our enforcement practices have begin to increase.
And have you had to change the protocols, you know, in terms of the person-to-person interaction, whether it's in a basic roadside stop or actually doing a level one, level two inspection? Have you formally had to change the way an officer goes about doing that to maintain, say, social distancing or more of a contactless environment?
Yeah, we definitely had to make adjustments to our inspection procedure. Not necessarily changing the procedure, but just making sure that we incorporated CDC recommendations for safe distancing and masks and frequent washing of your hands. So, for example, when we stop a vehicle and the driver is producing a driver's license or a registration, it's quite easy for that driver to hold up the driver's license or registration to the window so you have a physical barrier between the driver and the inspector so we can record all of the information. So we can, even though we're modifying our inspection process slightly, we're just not physically handling as many documents as we used to in the past. However, we're still able to read the documents and check them for validity. As far as checking for doing our walk-around mechanical fitness inspections, that remains unchanged because we can use the mirrors on the side of the vehicle to communicate with the driver. So there's plenty of ways that we can conduct our inspections safely without physically having to be next to the driver.
And what about in terms of what you're seeing on the roadways? When we've spoken to folks in previous episodes in terms of driver behavior, broadly speaking, not just commercial drivers, you know, of course, we've seen both in the news and in data, speeding has been up, crashes in many ways have been up because of the speeding being up, perhaps with less congestion, or perhaps early on in the pandemic, those that were more risk takers were the ones out on the roads. But for your membership that's interacting with folks that are out there driving for a living, have you seen changes in terms of the types of behavior or types of violations that you're finding during the past 6 months?
Yeah, we absolutely have. The biggest thing that we've noticed is definitely speeding is up and unsafe driving practices. Having the experience of driving here locally within the DC metro area, when I am out on the highways, the aggressive driving, the speeding is absolutely off the charts compared to normal times, especially in the DC area when you're in gridlock most of the time. So one, having being able to travel the speed limit and then having the added exposure of all the aggressive driving around you is definitely unnerving.
And you're seeing that play out with commercial drivers as
absolutely.
Well. Yeah. Interesting. So what's the conversation in the community to try to tackle that? Obviously there's a lot of traditional countermeasures, but sometimes right now, traditional things may or may not work. How is the enforcement community trying to grapple with what might be new trends, even though it's old behavior during these times?
So we've transitioned some of our enforcement initiatives, and this was actually pre-COVID as well. However, it's really starting to amplify itself during the pandemic. Is we've started transitioning away from less mechanical fitness inspections of equipment and doing more driver behavior type of enforcement, such as our Operation Safe Driver campaign, where we're really focused on driver behavior, whether it's speeding, aggressive driving, using a mobile device such as a cell phone, texting and driving, anything that distracts a driver from paying attention to what he or she is supposed to be doing behind the wheel. So we've noticed through the data that driver behavior and speeding or unsafe driving behavior specifically is the leading cause of crashes on our highways. So we've actually started that transition. We will never replace our traditional levels of inspection, the mechanical fitness of the vehicle and also driver credentialing. That will still be maintained. However, we are starting to increase our enforcement activities regarding driver behavior.
Now, I know that in the Alliance, you also have membership that represent the industry themselves, trucking companies and trucking organizations, buses as well. Early on in the motor vehicle agency side during the pandemic, there was a lot of focus on extensions for credentials and permits to be able to keep goods moving across the highways. So what has your community heard from the trucking and busing industry in terms of how they're interacting with enforcement while they're trying to keep things being delivered?
So in the early stages of the pandemic, the public sector associations like CVSA, AMBA, IRP, CCMTA, and UCR, we immediately recognized that we needed to work collaboratively in order to make sure not only the enforcement community, but also the motor carrier industry was apprised of all the waivers and exemptions that were being issued. So over the past 8 months, since we've been immersed in the pandemic, we haven't had any complaints that at least I have received regarding the interaction between the enforcement community and the motor carrier industry. It seems that it's giving the appearance that all the measures that we have in place through whether it's the associations or the federal government or state and local governments, that message regarding exemptions and waivers and extensions has all been heard and folks know where to find their information. And the enforcement community is aware of all the various exemptions, waivers, and extensions in place as well. So I think for us having to experience this type of environment for the first time, I like to think that our collaboration has and our working together has definitely helped everybody through this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, one of the things that we do as associations, in addition to that collaboration, goes back to kind of what you referenced in the opening about not scheduling meetings and not working on events. Though I do know you recently had a very successful virtual annual meeting. Without that focus of bringing people together in person, a lot of us are figuring out ways to adapt and deliver different services to our members. What are some of the ways that CVSA has been able to pivot and change the way you keep that network sustained?
So we had, over the past couple months, we have definitely increased, or not a couple months, for several months now, we have increased our communication to our membership. The biggest thing that we found early on is communicate, communicate, communicate. Not everybody is able to read every email that comes through. And yes, you can be bombarded with too many emails and too much communication. However, during the early stages of COVID-19, we definitely felt that it was appropriate to make sure that we were in touch with our community, asking what they needed, and working with them to make sure that they had the resources and the tools necessary to do their job effectively. So, for example, we managed to set up an emergency declarations portal on our website, originally designed for the enforcement community. For states, provinces, and the federal government to upload waivers and extensions related to that specific jurisdiction. And that type of activity managed to also have a secondary benefit for the motor carrier industry. So the flood of emails and communications we usually receive during hurricane season when a specific state or region issues declarations of waivers, we managed to push out that information and we saw a significant reduction in all of the email and phone calls that came into our office because we were able to help the motor carrier industry. So that's one thing that we did. Another was obviously setting up our virtual conference that you had just referenced. And now we're in the early stages of figuring out what a hybrid meeting would look like moving forward into sometime during 2021.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are having that conversation right now. There are going to be some folks that might be able or willing to travel and others that aren't going to be in a position to do that. And how do you start to accommodate both?
Yeah, it's an interesting environment that we're about to enter. However, I can see a reason for continuing hybrid meetings long into the future, even once that pandemic is over, because there are a number of jurisdictions that either don't have the resources to allow people to travel, or for a variety of reasons, folks cannot travel because of health reasons or because of other commitments, that it will provide an opportunity for folks that that if they cannot attend in person, to participate virtually. We have noticed during our virtual meeting that from a number of folks that a virtual event does not replace an in-person event. That has been communicated to us loud and clear. So we don't ever see a time where a virtual meeting will replace a traditional in-person meeting. However, it can be augmented with virtual as well to have a very, very effective hybrid meeting.
Yeah, it's a great point. We've had similar feedback, and it's almost before the pandemic, there was almost this growing conversation around, do you really need to have an in-person meeting all the time? There's so much technology available. Maybe you could replace a meeting here or there. And then as soon as you actually had to do it, the overwhelming reaction is, well, you could pull it off that way, but it's not a one-for-one replacement.
Yeah, that's correct. It's not a one-for-one replacement. But in some respects, I'm glad we went through the exercise because it really showed us a different way of holding meetings or even smaller meetings. And we can definitely see that there's going to be a place for virtual in the future. And like you just mentioned, we don't see it ever replacing a traditional in-person meeting. However, it can definitely help enhance it.
Yeah. You know, that along with, you know, your portal is another example of, we've kind of been propelled into having to innovate and do things differently that are going to provide benefit even once the pandemic is over. The portal is a great example of, even when there's no pandemic extensions and waivers, you're always going to be dealing with, you know, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, those kind of natural disaster events that require those waivers and extensions to happen. Are you seeing other types of innovations that have been jump-started because of this that are going to extend well beyond the pandemic? You know, just as your example of, well, maybe I don't have to roll down the window to grab that individual's license. There may be benefit of that even when there's not a coronavirus you're fearing to catch.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be some adjustments, and many of them are probably going to be individual inspectors coming up with a way or new ways of how they're interacting with a driver. I'd also like to mention that another innovation or another initiative that we spearheaded during the pandemic was the release of our new learning management system. In the early stages of COVID, when a number of inspectors were prohibited from conducting commercial legal enforcement activities, member jurisdictions were asking us, well, what sort of online training or training do you have so I can at least keep my inspectors productive, learning and sharpening their skills, just because they're not interacting with the motor carrier industry, whether it's during investigations or inspections. The jurisdictions really wanted to keep folks active and busy. So we released our new learning management system earlier than anticipated, because we recognized that the members needed reference material and tools in order to keep their enforcement personnel busy. So that's been a tremendous success. It's similar to, along the lines of an in-person meeting, where yes, there is training and in-service training that we traditionally do in person. However, there are elements of training that can be done remotely, such as in 1 hour segments while someone's sitting at a computer, or during the afternoon during a rainstorm, or even during a pandemic. So that's just another example of how we pivoted quickly in order to make sure that we were servicing the membership.
And one of the places that we've collaborated between ANVA and CVSA is being able to provide some additional content to your LMS, I believe, by partnering on our fraud detection and remediation program, so that you can provide that type of training to your members.
Yeah, we are just in the final stages of rolling that out. All of the information has been uploaded into our learning management system. We're just working on a few tweaks regarding our sign-in credentials to make sure that it's applicable to our state and provincial enforcement members. But yeah, that's a great point, Ian, where the collaboration between associations to make sure that we're pushing information out to the field, not only at the DMV level, but also the enforcement level, to make sure everybody has as many tools and resources as possible.
And what about the collaboration at the jurisdiction level? I know that there are actually some commercial enforcement units that sit within the jurisdiction DMV themselves. Though it's a small number, there are fewer that occurs. Usually, of course, it sits outside of the DMV, whether in the same parent agency or not. There's still always that collaboration that's needed between the enforcement agency and the DMV itself, particularly as it relates to the driver licensing record. What's your view, and what are you seeing in terms of trends at the jurisdiction level of the commercial vehicle enforcement agency being able to collaborate and partner with, say, their driver licensing agency?
So in many respects, some of the jurisdictions have really established relationships with whether it's their registration or DMV, UCR, IFTA, and the enforcement officials within that state or the state police. We do have a handful of jurisdictions where those relationships aren't as well established as we would like or hope. And that's where we feel that us as CVSA and AMBA and IRP and others, we feel that there's an opportunity for us to help fill that void and fill that gap. In some jurisdictions where you have all of those departments or services under one roof or closely located, those relationships are easier to maintain. However, when some enforcement activities and other services are remote or removed or within different agencies and departments, maintaining those relationships is a little harder. However, we feel that we can assist in bringing people together to make sure not only the enforcement community, but also the DMV community within that jurisdiction knows what we're doing on the commercial vehicle enforcement side.
Well, Colin, I really want to thank you for taking some time to join us and chat with us for a little bit today on the AmvaCast. It's really interesting to hear how some things are new challenges, but really in many ways, the challenges your members are facing, they're the challenges that have been there all along, and they're just kind of bringing them to light, whether that is, like you say, the aggressive driving, speeding, other behaviors on the road. And it's really impressive that your members are able to adapt to still enforce how folks are behaving and keep the roads safe.
Yeah, we're pretty happy with the level of work that our members have put forward over the past several months. It's been a difficult time. Everybody's struggled with what to do and how to handle that the pandemic. And when you're part of the enforcement community and you need to be out on the road and servicing the community, then it makes things a little more challenging. But we couldn't be more happier and proud of the service that they provided.
Well, thanks again for joining us. I want to thank our producer, Claire Jeffrey, and I want to thank all of you for tuning in. We'll see you next time on the AmvaCast. Stay well, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for AmvaCast, hosted by Ian Grossman, produced by Claire Jeffrey. Music by Gibson Arthur. This episode has been brought to you by Get Group. Visit us at amvacast.podbean.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify.